Good morning. I made some worksheets for anybody that wants it. If y'all want to pass these around. And there's some pens right here. Simply because as I was working on my message for this morning, I realized I was going to ask you to spend some time this week with the Lord meditating on it. And I thought, well, it'd be a lot easier if they had something to look at and to remember by. Because, I mean, I know y'all remember everything that's said here on Sunday mornings during the week. But this is one of those messages that I told my Sunday school class this morning. It's on the way we talk. And so we talk all the time, right? And if this gets into you the way it's gotten into me, you will be very uncomfortable for the rest of your life now. For at least as long as you allow the Lord to sink this into your heart, because ever since I've been working on this week, everything I say, I'm like, oh dear, is that giving life? Is that giving life? So let's pray. Father, thank you for today, and we thank you for your word and for its power in our lives. And I pray that you would speak to us, each of us this morning, about the words that we speak to one another, the words that we listen to. And Lord, that you would just teach us what you want us to know as your people, as your body, and that we would become a people, a body here at Three Point Bible Church that is speaking life into a dying place. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth this morning and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're in James chapter 3. We're going to be doing verses 1 through 12. And, thank you. This was part of my sermon. So... So let's start by reading that, and I'm reading from the New Living Translations. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." So I want to share with you seven things about our speech that James says here. And first of all is, what we say matters. That's what's just been driven home to me this week as I've looked at this. What we say matters. This is not a suggestion that the word makes. It's huge. And it has huge ramifications. Our words matter. God cares about what we say. And one day, the scripture tells us that he is going to judge every single one of us according to what we have said. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus says, "But I tell you that for every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And he says in Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, the time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from housetops for all to hear. Do you hear what he's saying? The words that we speak, no matter where we speak them, are a big deal to God. And one day, every single one of them will be made known. What I've said about you and what you've said about me out in the open. Won't that be fun? I don't think we'll be looking at each other and judging each other, though, because we'll be thinking, oh, no. We like to think that our words are just a little thing. No big deal. I was just blowing off steam. I was just kidding. And God says, no, it's a big deal. It matters. So number two, the reason that it matters is because words are powerful. Words are powerful. James compares our tongue to a bit that is put in a horse's mouth that controls his whole body. I don't trust it, but that's what they say. And a rudder of a ship that is small but steers the direction of a huge ship, just a small rudder. And then he compares it to a spark, just a small flame that sets a whole forest on fire. And again, we think, well, it's just a little word. The tongue is just a small part of the body. But what James wants us to see is that no, it's huge. It's powerful. Words are powerful. Think about it. How did God make the world? He spoke it into existence with a word. He said in Genesis 1:3, he said, "Let there be light." He spoke it and there was light. In Psalm 33:6, it says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." This one's not up there, but I thought of Psalm 107:20 that says, "He sent his word and healed them." It just takes a word from God for us to be healed. And then speaking of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power." And we are created in the image of God. So, of course, our words are powerful. The scripture tells us that they can give life or they can give death. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." If you love to talk, if you talk, you're going to eat the fruit of what you say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about it. Can't we all remember something that a parent or a teacher or a friend said to us that just brought death? That just brought death, that killed a dream, that destroyed hope. I mean, how often I have heard people talk about something that someone said to them in their childhood that is still bearing fruit today in their lives. And hopefully the other side is true too, that we can remember something that a parent or a teacher or a friend said to us that brought life, that built us up, that encouraged us, that gave wings to a dream or a talent. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain." And I thought, oh, if we could only remember this, not just 15 minutes after we leave here this morning, but every day, all day, that the words that we speak are a life-giving fountain, or they're a death-giving fountain. And the question for us is, which are we choosing? Which are we choosing? Are we choosing to just let careless words fly that one day we will give an account of? Or are we carefully submitted to the Spirit, choosing life-giving words? Another thing that James says about our speech, number three, is that words steer our entire lives. That's a powerful statement. Words steer our entire lives. Just like a bit steers a horse and a rudder a ship, our words and the words of others that we listen to steer our entire lives. So I want us to ask ourselves a question this morning. How have you wound up where you are today? What are the words that were spoken to you or over you or that you've listened to that have you where you are today? So that's one question as we spend time this week meditating on this passage and asking the Lord, spending time with the Lord, to examine our hearts, to examine our words, to examine the role that words have played in our lives. How did I wind up where I am today, Lord? And also, what role does the Word of God have in who and where we are today? Because I think that's huge also. A good place to start is Psalm 119 that tells you all the power of the Word of God and what it will do for our lives, what it can do in our lives. Are we incorporating God's words into our lives as a life-giving fountain? Jesus said, "My words to you are spirit and they are life, that the flesh profits nothing." Is his word being life to us? In one sense, we are all a product of the words that we have spoken and have been spoken to us and over us. That's how powerful words are. Again, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So another question for us this morning is, what words do we need to let go of, to repent of, to stop listening to? And then also, what words do we need to start listening to, start speaking, start believing? Number four, our words have the potential to steer others' lives also. One reason we must be careful about what we say is because all of the things that are true about words for us are also true about our words to others. I had a conversation this week with a friend who is struggling with a relationship. And when I suggested that she say certain things, she responded, "Well, I'm not fake, so I can't do that. Because I can't say that because that's not how I feel." And I understood what she was saying because I don't consider myself fake either. And it's incredibly difficult to speak life-giving words to someone who has hurt us or misunderstood us. You know what I'm talking about? When someone has spoken to you in a way that was hurtful, that spoke death to you, it does feel fake sometimes to speak life-giving words to them. Often, but I thought one of the things I thought was that often when we are hurt, the words that we come back with are actually fake. They're actually not true. They're things we think and feel in a moment, but they're not true words. It's like Job says, the words of the grieving belong to the wind. You don't try to correct somebody who's grieving their words, because they just say things that are coming out of a heart that has been broken. But as I thought about my friend and her situation, I realized that there's a higher calling than authenticity. You know, authenticity is a big word these days. I've got to be me. I've got to be true to myself. I've got to be who I am. I've got to speak the truth to you about how I feel, whether it offends you or not. But there is a higher calling for the believer than authenticity, and that is obedience to God. And two scriptures come to my mind concerning words that we speak to other people that we don't necessarily feel. And the first one is Luke chapter 6, verse 31, that says, treat others the same way that you want them to treat you. So if you apply that to your speech, I certainly don't want someone to tell me everything that they are thinking about me in the heat of the moment. Do you? So if I'm going to treat somebody the way that I want them to treat me, I want their words to be true, but I also want them to be kind. I want them to be pleasing to God. I want it to be so that we can build a bridge in our relationship. Instead of telling everything that you feel, maybe say things like, okay, I love you. I'm hurting right now. You've disappointed me. Your words hurt me. But I love you. I'm struggling with that, but I love you. And I want you to know that first before I say anything else. I feel sad, but I love you. I care about you. And I want us to work this out. The second scripture that came to mind was Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, that says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. If we took that scripture to heart, when we wanted to say all of the things that we think and that we feel in that moment, and we looked at the person that we wanted to say them to, and we thought, okay, am I wanting to say these things to them out of selfishness? Well, God says to do nothing out of selfishness. Am I at this moment considering that person is more important than myself? That's a hard one, isn't it? When we've been hurt, when we are angry, to stop and say, you know what? God tells me to consider you, even at this moment, more important than myself. Because that passage in Philippians where that verse comes from is telling us to have the mind of Christ, to be like Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, death upon a cross. That's where that comes from. And so in all of our dealings with people, in all of our relationships, in everything that we say, as people who belong to Jesus, we are to be like him. And so we are to humble ourselves, give life-giving words. And the only way we can do that is if we trust God to heal us. The only way that if you're standing there telling me off, and you've hurt me, you've abused me with your words and everything, the only way that I can truly look at you and say, I love you, and you are more important than me. What you think and what you feel is more important than me right now is if I am saying, Father God, you see all of this. You know what I need, and I trust you to meet my needs so that I can tend to the needs of the person that is attacking me. Does that make sense? That's the only way, is if we have entrusted ourselves to the Lord. And this is so contrary to the culture that we live in. God says to treat others the way you want them to treat you and to consider them more important than yourselves. So when we apply those verses to the words we speak, what happens? We speak life. We speak life to others. We seek to steer their lives in a good, life-giving direction instead of having to speak everything that we want, everything that we feel, everything that we think. So the question for us is, what are we sowing in the lives of the people around us? Life or death? And that was the one that really got me. That I shared in Sunday school this morning was to think that everything that comes out of my mouth needs to be speaking life to people. It doesn't need to be sarcasm, which I'm pretty good at. It doesn't need to be always joking. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having fun, but, you know, you need to be careful who you do that with because some people don't get it. Some people are offended and you don't even know it. They don't know you. They don't know that most of what comes out of your mouth is a joke. And then fifth, our words expose the condition of our hearts. James 3, verse 2 says, we all make many mistakes. For if we can control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. That's a powerful statement right there. That if we could control our tongues, we would be a perfect person. We can't control our tongues because there's something wrong in our hearts. So we don't focus just on our speech, but on getting our hearts right, on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus says, out of the mouth. The heart. I thought I had that scripture in here somewhere. I'm kind of lost right now, but I've kind of go way off of my stuff. But anyway, I made a list of all the things that James says about the tongue. He says, it's a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness. It corrupts our whole body. It can set our whole life on fire. It is set on fire by hell itself. It's untamable. It's restless. It's evil. It's full of deadly poison. It's schizophrenic. It has a split mind. That's what that word means. Not true to its true self. And if you're like me, you're looking at this list thinking, well, it's not that bad. You know? I mean, sometimes I say things I shouldn't. I'm sure I gossip occasionally, but it's not that bad. And God says, really? Really? This is my word. This is my thinking about your tongue. First of all, we aren't consciously the recipients of the evil of our own tongues, so who are we to judge what our tongues are really like? And also, we have no idea how good and holy God is. And thus how wicked and evil our hearts really are without him. And then thirdly, I think if we realized all the things our tongues have said to us and how we have been hindered beat up, abused, have missed so many opportunities. Because as God's word says, it is really set on fire by hell itself. I mean, what he's saying is the devil is in our tongues. And he uses our tongues against us and against those we love and against other people. And we don't even know it most of the time. So instead of arguing with God's word and his evaluation of our tongues, we should say, you know what? You're right. You're right. What do I do? What do I do? And that leads us to number 6. No one can tame the tongue. No one. I can't. You can't. We can try. We might do pretty good sometimes at holding things in. Not saying what we really want to say, but eventually it'll come out. And we'll prove James' point in 7 through 12. He says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. We are all spiritually schizophrenic. There's an old song that I used to listen to, and it says, I've got a witness not too stable. It wouldn't get me very far. I've got one hand on the table and one in the cookie jar. I've got sins that need eviction from a temple that's a wreck. I've got a chain of contradiction hanging around my neck. And I think most of us have a chain of contradiction hanging around our voice box, our tongues, you know? It says, Jesus told the Jewish leaders when they were accusing him of casting out demons by the power of the devil. He said, either assume the tree to be good as well as its fruit good, or assume the tree to be bad as well as the fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, express any good things? For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. The good person brings out of his good treasure good things, and the evil person brings out of his evil treasure evil things. But I tell you, for every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We read this and we think, we're doomed. That's what I think. We're doomed, or we should. Jesus is always bringing us to the end of ourselves. We can try everything within us to be good, to only speak words of life and healing. From this point on, I'm only going to speak words of life to everybody that I talk to. How long do we think that's going to last? Until we walk 2 feet and somebody makes us mad, you know? Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And everything in our lives is meant to lead us to that place of total surrender and being filled with Him, because number 7, only the Holy Spirit in us can tame the tongue. And so our question for all of us today is, will you surrender to Him today? Will you ask Him to examine your heart and your words and do whatever needs to be done? Ask Him to tame your tongue, to sanctify your tongue, that your words may be a fountain of life for you and others to drink from. So I challenge you, I challenge all of us, myself included, this week, to take that sheet of paper, to take that scripture, and go into your prayer closet and sit with the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I want to submit completely to the control of your spirit in my life, and I want you to sanctify my tongue. I want the words that I speak to become a fountain of life to everyone that hears them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we just acknowledge to you that we cannot tame our tongues. We ask you to forgive us for everything, every careless word that we have spoken. For every word that we have spoken that was not gracious, seasoned with salt for the edification of the moment, that wounded, that brought death to people. Lord, forgive us, and we ask you in your mercy to fill us with your Spirit, to change us, to heal us. And Lord, we ask that all the words that have been spoken over us, that have been spoken to us, all the words of death that are affecting us today, Lord, that you would expose those for the lie that they are, and that you would replace them with your words of life and truth and healing, that we might become whole people. Lord, we thank you for 3 Point Bible Church, and we pray for a mighty move of your Spirit among us, that you would reign, that we would submit, that we would walk humbly with you in everything that we do and in everything that we say. May you be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.